Live from the EPB Fiber Optic Studios, this is WRXR, Rossville, Chattanooga. Athens.
Right,
Knoxville.
Green.
Tuscaloosa.
46.
Lexington. Baton Rouge. Shanesville. And the list goes on. Football legends are made in the SEC, and it all begins with strength, perseverance, and determination in towns all across the South. And we're here to talk about them all. College Football Radio begins now. SEC at its best, a production of Whitfield Media Group. And now, your hosts, Chris Goforth and legendary Georgia Bulldog tight end and former NFL pro football player, Randy McMichael. This is where SEC football game day starts. This is College Football Radio on Rock 105.
Welcome in this week to College Football Radio. It's presented by Carter Heating and Air. We do it every week from 9 until 10. I'm Chris Goforth. He is Randy McMichael, the Georgia Bulldog.
Thank you.
Randy McMichael.
Thank you.
Who's hanging out with me today. And it's our final show of the season. If you've been with us for the entire year, we're glad to have you along. I know it's been a wild and crazy 2020 college football season, and if you're joining us for the first time, we do this every week. We talk nothing but SEC football for one solid hour on a Saturday morning. We'll take a look at some of the bowl games coming up later on that involve SEC teams. I'm sure Randy's got some thoughts on Georgia and Cincinnati. Bill Bender from the Sporting News will be with us. We'll preview those two college football semifinal games coming up, Alabama and Notre Dame, Ohio State and Clemson, and then Matt Lowe from Athlons will be with us. We'll talk a little bit about Alabama's win over Florida in the SEC championship game, and we'll also talk with Matt about Auburn hiring a new football coach. We'll get into all those things, but Randy, let's kick it off. Before we get to, and look, there's been a lot of news and notes from around the SEC that have happened this week. Before we get into all of that stuff, let's start first with a little bit of a look back to Saturday night in that SEC championship game. Alabama did kind of what Alabama does, but it wasn't in typical Alabama fashion at all, was it? I mean, that was you knew going into that game you were going to have to score some points, and Alabama had to score some points and then literally hang on there at the end to get the win.
Yeah, I mean, I try to tell people this, that Florida offense can score points on Alabama's defense, and you saw that. I just love the fact is that when you have big games, stars play like stars. And all of Alabama's three main stars who should be, you know, we talk about Heisman Trophy candidates, running back, receiver, and quarterback, all play like stars. And the same thing for the Florida players, man. I thought it was a very good football game. And I thought that, you know, Florida just show some of that fight that we thought they had all season long in big games, and they were able to fight Alabama and come back on them. But Alabama was the better team, and that's why they won.
Yeah, I think so too. Alabama just maybe a little more complete, just a little bit better on defense, Randy, than what Florida was. And at the end of the day, I think it was that Alabama defense that has been much maligned this year for not being as dominant as maybe some of those other Alabama defenses have been. But at the end of the game, when Alabama needed somebody to come up and make a play, they stepped up. They got the sack on Trask that kind of ended things for Florida. Some big news in the SEC this week. Brian Harsin has been named the new head coach at Auburn. 44 years old. He went 69-19 as the head coach at Boise State. That's where he's coming from. You know, Randy, you go back. There's been some stories that have come out this week. The Athletic has done a really nice job in kind of reporting around this story. And I think it was Andy Staples that had the story where Brian Harsin had sent a very tersely worded email to his athletic director and his university president at Boise State back earlier in this fall and said, we need to get out of the Mountain West. Right. We need to leave. Because I think he saw the same thing that the folks at Cincinnati are figuring out this week, the same thing that the folks at Coastal Carolina are figuring out this week, and that is, if you're a group of five program, in other words, you're not in one of the big Power Five conferences, you have zero shot at making the college football playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, that I mean, the thing with the Chris is this. I understand the Boise's and all these teams that are doing this. And it's all about, can you compete not just sort of one game and meet us in a bowl game? Can you do it consistently over and over again throughout so let's say they go to the Pac-12, a whole Pac-12 schedule. I don't know, you know, where this ranks as far as candidates is, you know, top priorities for Auburn, but they got a damn good football coach. And my thing is who do you keep around? I mean, he has coached here in the South. We do know that. So I'm sure he has some ties to some people down here still. But I mean, this is a job where all week you're hearing about the Auburn boosters meddling and doing all these things. And, you know, guys have turned this job down. Napier turned it down. You saw DC at Clemson. He Brent turned Venables, it down. Yeah. Thank you. Brent Venables has turned his job down and other people. And then this whole Kevin Steele thing, I'm still curious where that came from. Were they trying to help out with the recruiting aspect of it, not wanting guys to leave? Do they keep him on as the defensive coordinator? I mean, there's so many things that's going on in Auburn right now. But I think they got him a damn good football coach. But when we talk about the Boise's and the Cincinnati's and the Coastals, yeah, I mean, they're better than A&M, maybe. I'm sorry, not A&M, but Arkansas. They may be better than Vanderbilt, but can they compete week in and week out with the other likes of the Georgias and the Alabamas and the Auburns and LSU and teams like that, Florida? I don't think so.
Yeah, Randy, you touched on what I think is really the big question mark about Brian Harsin, and I agree with you. I think he's a heck of a coach, and according to some reporting by The Athletic this week, he has turned down 20 Power 5 programs over the years and electing to stay at Boise State. I guess, again, I think he kind of saw the writing on the wall of what was coming and you know, was basically asking the Boise State folks, hey, we need to get out of this conference. Right. We need to get in a better conference. That wasn't going to happen. So I think he figured, look, if I'm going to make the move, now is the time. He goes to a program where we know you can win an SEC title at Auburn.
Yes.
You can
yes.
win a national title at Auburn. It's yes. been done.
Yes.
So this is a guy that's, you know, he's stepping into a pretty good situation there at Auburn. But to your point, what does his staff look like? What's the future of Kevin Steele, their defensive coordinator, highest paid defensive coordinator in the country? What is that going to look like once he get it? You mentioned the fact that he's coached in the Southeast before. He spent 1 year at Arkansas State. As a matter of fact, he followed
yes.
Gus Malzahn at Arkansas State. He was there 1 year, and then he went back to his alma mater, which is Boise, which is where he has been. Now, he also spent a year or two at Texas, and he was the offensive coordinator at Texas. Now, that's not in the Southeast, but that is at least at a Power 5 program. But I'm kind of with you. I wonder what this staff is going to look like once he starts to put it together. And will Kevin Steele have an opportunity to still be a part of it? I think that's a question. And look, it is you mentioned the Auburn boosters being meddlers, and certainly I think they are. When you go get a guy from a Group of Five program, a lot of times they're going to be okay with you dictating certain terms.
Is that why you think they went and got him?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying that was this a deal with Brian Harsin where he was told, hey, look, we feel like we got the right guy at defensive coordinator. Are you okay keeping
right.
him?
Or right.
we want you to keep him. And, you know, maybe so. I don't know. I'm just thinking that may be the conversation that's being had or has been had down at Auburn with him. It wasn't a good look at Auburn, by the way. For why would Billy Napier at Louisiana, not LSU now, Louisiana,
mm-hmm.
who's from Murray County, by the way, why mm-hmm. would Billy Napier turn down the Auburn job?
Chris, he probably knows something that we don't know. And because, I mean, I know you see that, well, he turned it out because he's waiting for Nick to leave so he can take over the Alabama job. Well, hell, how do you know? When you know Nick ready to leave? And, I mean, it has to be something, you know, that we don't know. Like I said, the boosters. But boosters meddle all the time. But for some reason, in the last couple of days, you've been hearing more and more about Auburn yeah. boosters. Because the thing about it is that when you put up $21 million to pay somebody not to coach – and yet you put up some more mills to get another guy in there, you feel like you are entitled to some say, I guess. And
you're 100% right.
You know, so it's going to be an interesting dynamic how that goes with this with Coach as he comes in and he's trying to start his own culture down there in Auburn. And so, do they make him hot? Do they make him keep Kevin Steele? I think that's the biggest thing. Or does he want to? I mean, Kevin Steele is the highest paid DC in the country for a reason. I mean, he's a hell of a defensive coach. Now, you didn't see a lot of that year because of the fact that they lost so many guys on their defensive line, especially. But, I mean, I don't think it would be bad if he wanted to keep him. But if he wants to bring in somebody else, will they step in and like, no, we want Kevin Steele to stay here as a defensive coordinator? I think that would be the interesting thing. And that's something, Chris, we might not ever know. We might not ever know if they if he was made – to have to keep Kevin Steele as a defensive coordinator.
All right, we'll see how this plays out down at Auburn. It's going to be interesting. Some LSU coaching news, by the way. Nope, Ed Orgeron's still there, but Steve Emsminger has announced he's going to retire from an on-field coaching role. He's going to move into an analyst position at LSU. Scott Linehan, Randy, a guy that you were around some in the National Football League, he is not expected to be back, and Bo Pelini won't be back as the defensive coordinator. As you would expect, coming off of a tough year following a national championship, I think Ed Orgeron had no choice. He had to go through and start making moves on this staff.
Yeah, he did. It made sense. And, you know, I still don't think – I think Ed Orgeron was a beneficiary person of – Joe Burrow playing the way he played and all those things, but you know, he has to find some way. And LSU, being offensive coordinator at LSU is a hell of a job because of the athletes that they're able to get down there at LSU along with the defensive coordinator. So it'd be interesting how they go out. Kevin Steele will be a name that you will look at as maybe the defensive coordinator there. But I mean, I'm not throwing no rumors out there because I ain't heard nothing. That's just off the top of my head. If he leaves Auburn, offensive coordinator, I'm sure he's called Joe Brady a couple times and said, you want to come back? I doubt he wants to, but I mean, that's a call that I would make just in case. And I mean, you look at around the league, around the country, it's all about the hires now. Do you got those? First of all, you got to have those dogs who were willing to go out there and recruit, because college football is different than NFL. You got to pound the pavement to go out there and make these kids feel comfortable and try to get them into your school. And as bad as LSU was, they still had one of the top recruiting classes in America because it's LSU. And they know that the pride and tradition and most importantly, the route to the NFL that they pay for so many of these young men that come out of high school. So they'll be fine. They just got to get the right hire. I think Orgeron would do that. But one thing about him is that because of all the stuff that's happened this year there, the one thing that I give him credit for when he won the national, he stayed out the damn way, Chris.
Yeah, he did.
He stayed out of the day. So does he go back to that way of getting in and meddling with everything? Or are you going to hire the right guys, let them do their jobs, and you sit back there and look like a genius?
The SEC announced their awards this week. Offensive Player of the Year, Devontae Smith from Alabama. Randy, does he have a legitimate shot at winning the Heisman?
Yes.
I think so,
yes.
Too.
Yes. I think if you look at, you know, all the receivers that have been in the finals, his former teammate, Amari Cooper, I didn't think Amari would win it. I think Devontae Smith has as good a chance as anybody to win. And you look at the SEC championship game, Chris, he had 15 catches. Now, he's the most dangerous wide receiver maybe in the country, and yet y'all can find ways to cover him. I mean, he's been such an amazing football player. And I look at him as a guy who is going to just be a really good pro football player, Chris. I do. I look at him as like a Marvin Harrison type player that's just going to just be successful, go about his business like he does now, and be just, you know, just the consummate pro and just put up numbers.
Could you see, because I can legit see three Alabama players being in the top four, top five of the Heisman voting?
Well, I think top five, because I'm going to put Trevor Lawrence in there because he was fantastic last weekend in that ACC championship game. And I still think he's the best player in the country. I think a lot of people are taking away the fact that he missed those two games. But outside of missing those games, he's been fabulous all year long. And I think you got to put him in there. Of course, Kyle Trask and the three players from Alabama. And it's going to be interesting once the winner is announced how the vote break down, especially in the South. And how, you know, a lot of these guys might cancel each other out. But I think, you know, when you talk about those top players in the country, you got to put Devontae Smith and Najee Harris and, of course, Mac Jones in that conversation.
Defensive Player of the Year, Patrick Surtain, the second from Alabama. Special Teams Player of the Year, Jake Kamarda from the University of Georgia.
How about that? Oh, way to go, Jake. That's all I got to say. He's a kicker.
Freshman of the Year, Connor Bazelak of Missouri and Tank Bigsby of Auburn. They share the award. I think that's look, I don't blame those guys tying for the award because – Randy, I think they both pretty much deserved it with the freshman year that they had. And no surprise here, Nick Saban is the SEC's Coach of the Year.
Who else would it have been?
Yeah. And also, I do want to make this point. Trey Smith is the only Tennessee player on the SEC first or second team or freshman team. They had one representative in Trey Smith. How pitiful is that?
Well, I just need to know something. What is going on in Tennessee? Because are they after Pruitt? I mean, it just seems like it's been one thing after another with that program this year. And, I mean, I don't know how Jeremy Pruitt holds on to his job after this right now. And I think, you know, maybe it's one of those regret hires that you got to find something to maybe blame on him so you can get rid of him. I mean, it's been a disaster ever since they went to Athens. It's been a disaster.
The news that came out this week about the internal investigation and what was going on around the Tennessee program, man, that to me, and again, I don't mean to add fuel to a fire here.
No.
That just reeks of something internal.
That's what I'm saying. Who's after him?
That reeks of somebody in the athletic department tipping somebody off and saying, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
That is 100% what that reeks of.
Yeah. That's why I said, what's going on there? It seems to me, and I'm not trying to throw anybody because I don't know. I'm just saying what it looks like to me from the outside looking in.
Yeah.
That they try to get Pruitt out of there. And that, I mean, and it goes back to mid pandemic, whatever, when we got the news about Philip Fulmer secretly got a contract extension and all this. Chris, it seems like they're after Jeremy Pruitt to try and get him up out of Tennessee, man. And that's just from my view, from reading and looking at what's going on. I'm not there, but to me, it seems like they're trying to get him up out of there.
He's due a pay raise next year, by the way. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. Randy and I got a whole lot more to get to coming up later on. We'll talk about some of those SEC bowl games. Bill Bender of the Sporting News will be with us. Matt Lowe from Athlon's College Football Magazine. Matt will join us next. We'll get his take on Brian Harsin, the latest hire in the SEC. He's headed to Auburn. We'll get into all of that and more. It's College Football Radio continues, presented by Carter Heating and Air.
Football Radio, SEC at its best. Coming back next on Rock 105. It's how the SEC starts its Saturday mornings. College Football Radio is back with Chris Goforth and Randy McMichael on Rock 105.
It's College Football Radio presented by Carter Heating and Air. We head out and say hello to Matt Lowe from Lindy's College Football Preview Magazine. Matt is always kind enough to spend a few minutes with us and talk a little college football. We want to get into Alabama, the win over Florida, and this college football semifinal game coming up with Notre Dame. But before we get to that, Matt, I want to start with Auburn hiring a new coach. Brian Harsin has spent the last several years out at Boise State. That's where he went to school. That's his alma mater. He's coming to the SEC for the first time. How much of that is a concern for Auburn? The fact that this is a guy that I know he was at Arkansas State for a year, but he doesn't have a lot of deep ties to the SEC.
I think it could be a little bit of a concern, but this guy seems like a really sharp guy. He's a former quarterback, you know, so I think he understands offense. His teams have put up some points in recent years, so that might be a good way he can sell recruits on his offense. I think he's going to probably need to hire a couple of guys that are familiar with the landscape in the Southeastern Conference, especially the recruiting landscape, but I really like what the guy's about. I think his teams have been a tough and hard-nosed, and he just seems like he's a real smart guy, too. So I think it was a good hire, and I kind of like that Allen Green kind of thought outside the box a little bit. And, you know, he's been a head coach and at a couple of places and has also spent some time at Texas under Mack Brown. So he's got some pretty good experience under his belt.
And, Matt, when you say that, hire some guy, because I think with him, it's all about the staff. Do you think they keep Kevin Steele on as the defensive coordinator? He's the interim head coach for the bowl game. Do you think it's a priority, not necessarily a priority, do you think he will keep him on as the DC?
Well, I think potentially could, yeah, sure, because, you know, let's face it, Auburn's defense has been pretty good the last few years, and Steele is still under contract. Now, I don't know if he's going to be required to keep him or anything
right.
like that. But I mean, you got a guy like Travis Williams, who's one of the best young linebackers coaches in the country, and a guy like Ronnie Garner, who's put, you know, NFL players out
my
for
man.
Years.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, great coach. So, I mean, you kind of might be having those guys around will be helpful. And you know, maybe keeping a guy like Cadillac Williams on your staff, too, potentially.
Matt Lowe from Lindy's College Football Magazine. Matt's kind enough to spend a few minutes with us and talk some college football. You know, Matt, I keep hearing Billy Napier's name surface and the fact that he turned Auburn down for this job. Why would you stay at Louisiana rather than come to Auburn?
That's a good question. Maybe money, maybe autonomy, you know. There's been some, you know, reports that Auburn was pretty, you know, steadfast on keeping some assistance, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and maybe that had something to do with it, or maybe it was just all a smokescreen. I don't know, you know, but these conversations that go on behind closed doors, you know, I doubt a lot of that information is being leaked out, and if it is, that's the irresponsibility, in my opinion, on somebody's part. So I think the guy's a good young coach. I think he'll find a spot at a Division I, you know, power program here soon. And you know, sometimes it's better to wait your turn and wait for your right opportunity, and that might have been what he had done too.
But when you look at it, it's not him. You know, I still find it funny that people still want Venerables to come in for a interview or whatever. He's never leaving Clemson. But when you look at this, I'm sorry, yeah, when you look at this decision by Auburn, is it more or less he was the next guy on the list, or can they somehow spin it to the fan base? We had this guy on our radar all along.
Well, I don't know. That's an interesting question. I do think, you know, I do think they talked to Venables. Now, Venables has got a pretty good thing going at Clemson.
Exactly.
You know, so, I mean, you're not a head – he's never been a head coach from what I remember. And, you know, he was at Oklahoma for a while, then at Clemson. I mean, he's got such a good thing going. Why leave? And I tell you what, guys, that guy is sharp as a tack, man. The defensive game plan he had against Notre Dame was brilliant.
Yes.
I mean, it's just once again, that guy in a big game stymies an offense. And I don't think Dabo Swinney – has the success he has without Brent Venables. He's been a major cog in that wheel, and he's a very important coach to what they do.
Matt Lowe, he is with Lindy's College Football Magazine, and he's with us here on College Football Radio, presented by Carter Heating and Air. Matt, let me ask you, because we've got our semifinals set now for college football, including Alabama taking on Notre Dame. Is there a road for Notre Dame to hang in this game with Alabama?
I don't know. Not after watching last week. I don't think so. I mean, that was a big stage. I mean, look, then they beat Clemson without Trevor Lawrence on their home field in double overtime. So, you know, you put Trevor Lawrence in there, I mean, potentially number one pick in the draft, I mean, and we saw the difference in that team. So, I don't know. I mean, if they can't stop Clemson's offense, I really don't believe they're going to be able to stop Alabama's. I mean, but the injury to Landon Dickerson is pretty big, though, for Alabama at center. I mean, he's not only was he one of the team captains and a leader, but he's a good player, too. So, but I don't know. I don't see them being able to hang with Alabama. And to be honest with you guys, I thought A&M should have gotten that four slot. I thought they got jobs. I thought they got jobs somewhat.
When you look at the SEC championship game last week, and Alabama looked like Alabama, but Clemson was able to close the gap and make it a game. Was there any concern? What were some of the concerns that you saw from the Alabama defense that allowed Florida to be able to get back in that football game?
Well, I mean, Florida's got a guy in Kyle Pitts. It's just a matchup nightmare for anybody. I mean, Randy McMichael, you were a heck of a tight end, too. I used to, me and my buddy Taylor Hicks, we used to draft you on our fantasy team all the time, man. I was like, I want Randy McMichael, man. Let's go, you know. But he's just such a mismatch. And then you got Tony, too, who's a dynamic player, too. And it surprised me a little bit that Alabama wasn't able to get as much pressure on Trask, but I mean, he played a heck of a game, too. What an offensive game that was. And it just goes to show you, I mean, when you got NFL-caliber athletes in certain spots, it's tough to match up against them. And there's NFL players all over that field last Saturday night.
So are we on a crash course, Matt, for Alabama-Clemson part 15 or whatever it's going to be?
I think so. I tell you what, though, Dabo, I mean, coming out and saying in the coaches' poll had Ohio State ranked 11, and then he said something about, you know, they're being on a game plan for him is not going to be too much of a problem. I mean, that's just adding some fuel to the fire. I mean, so you might want to be careful about what you say because, all it takes sometimes is to fire a team up, you know.
Right.
And you better get ready to what you might get, so. I don't know. I think Ohio State's got great players. I think that's going to be a heck of a game. But if I were to guess and predict, I would say, yeah, we're going to see Alabama Clemson part 33.
What is it about this? Because Dabo has been like real mouthy this last month about Ohio State and not deserving and all those things. I'm with you, Matt. I'm thinking, but I want to see Ohio State fully loaded. Give me your opinion. I know you do the South, but your opinion about the Big Ten now all of a sudden, oh, well, we don't have to wait that long for these players to have to be back.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that the players can't help it. You know, I mean, and I what they did kind of been in the rules. I mean, was I okay with that? I didn't think so, but I mean, we picked Ohio State to win the national championship before the season, and they got a lot of good players. So, yeah, I just don't know how much you want to poke that bear, but you know, Dabo's been doing it, and you know, here, and I don't think, and like what you're saying there, Randy, I don't think Clemson needs to do that.
Right.
You know, they've established themselves. Dabo doesn't need to boast about his team, and they were chirping a lot in that second half against Notre Dame last week, which was a little unusual to me. I look at that program, they're a pretty classy outfit, and it looked like they were kind of crossing that line a little bit. But so we'll see what happens, but I don't think Clemson needs to boast or brag or talk trash about anything. Just go out there and play the game and win. That's what they've been doing.
Matt Lowe from Lindy's College Football Preview Magazine. Matt, appreciate it, my friend. As always, we'll look forward to catching up with you.
Appreciate it, brother.
Hey, thank you, guys. Y'all have a Merry Christmas, man. God bless.
You too, brother. Man. That is Matt Lowe from Lindy's.
Man. Yeah, on. Man, Dabo. I mean, Chris, I'm looking like
he's salty, Dabo.
Why are you so salty right
he's
now, Dabo?
Salty,
ain't nobody,
Dabo.
Ain't nobody not giving Clemson a respect, but it's one of them things where you look at it, Chris. Always, you got to make up some kind of motivation, man. Some kind of motivation.
Bill Bender from the Sporting News will join us next. We'll get his take. Which of these two semifinal games will be the best? We'll find out from Bill Bender when we return. College Football Radio presented by Carter Heating and Air, the SEC at its best.
College Football Radio, SEC at its best. Coming back next on Rock 105. It's how the SEC starts its Saturday mornings. College Football Radio is back with Chris Goforth and Randy McMichael on Rock 105.
It's College Football Radio presented by Carter Heating and Air. Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael, and joined now by Bill Bender from the Sporting News. Bill is a regular with us. We talk college football with Bill throughout the course of the season quite often. Bill, we've got our four teams in the college football playoff. In your opinion, which of these two semifinal games will be the best?
Oh, I wish they were teeing up Clemson and Ohio State tomorrow. Well, maybe not tomorrow, but those two are ready to go. I mean, as you guys know, I live in Central Ohio, and I could make a strong case that Dabo is public enemy number one up here right now, even over Jim. It's venomous, guys. And here's why. I'll tell you this. Remember before the COVID outbreak, the big talk around here was how Ohio State let that one get away last year. And now
right.
You got a coach ranking them 11th guys, I love games with a lot of heat on them, and there's a ton on this one.
I feel you, Bill. I've been saying it all week. I said it last week. Why, for some reason, it seems like Dabo is going out of his way to do these things. Like, it's all about me trying to throw this at, I'm big bad Clemson. Knowing that Clemson is one of the best teams in America, but for some reason, it's all about these jabs and him having to seem like he has to defend a program that doesn't really need defending. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. Well, I lived in Charlotte for 7 years, and I think there's some regionalism to this. And I say, And when I lived in Charlotte, you would start, and I'm from here, and you'd start talking about Ohio State and Michigan and Notre Dame, and people would just scoff at it. And I know some Clemson fans that just scoffed at the Buckeyes, and they're 4-0 against Ohio State, and I think that drives Buckeye fans crazy that they haven't beat this team, that they've gotten beat by playoff caliber teams, and Dabo's just not afraid to talk about it. Here's a good stat for you guys: since 2012. Clemson has beat Ohio State 3 times. The entire Big Ten has beat Ohio State 5 times in that same stretch. I think it's really amazing.
Wow. Bill Bender of the Sporting News, you can find him online by going to sportingnews.com. Bill, a lot has been made about Ohio State getting into these playoffs, having only played 6 games. Is that an advantage or a disadvantage to the Buckeyes with only 6 games under their belt?
I think it's a disadvantage because they haven't had reps. You know, Randy played. He knows, like, if you had an NFL season where you played 2 weeks, didn't play 2 weeks, played a week, didn't play 3, I don't think your Dolphins teams, you guys would have struggled, right? So
we had a quarterback, Bill. So we passed on Drew Brees.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's what it is. To me, it's about not having those game reps more than the practice time and the stop and start nature of the season. And when they play Clemson, that's a heavyweight matchup. You're not, with all due respect to Indiana and Northwestern, now you're going to be playing a team that has a talent, you know, they're in your talent time zone, if so to speak. And so will Alabama. And that'd be my biggest concern if I was Ohio State.
Bill, outside of this week, we've had some new coaching hires. Of course, Auburn hired new head coach, Boise State old head coach. And to also mention about this Arizona head coach, what do you think about that? Because you're kind of getting mixed reviews off of it.
You know, I think there were some interesting head coaching hires here, you know, where that was Auburn. I mean, Arizona, Jed Fish did some good work at Michigan. I was around him a little bit when Harbaugh 15 and 16, he did some good work there. You know, Harzin was hired yesterday. Sometimes a hire doesn't have to make a big splash, if that makes sense. I think Brian Harzin's a really good coach. I think his big challenge will be recruiting in the SEC, where they've run off a lot of good coaches. So, you know, and the one I did like that's happened in the last week, and you guys can scoff at this one too, I think Brett Bielema will do all right at Illinois. He knows his offensive line. He knows that division. He's candid. And, if he can recruit that area a little bit better than past Illinois coaches have, he'll do all right.
Bill, if you can, give us your thoughts on the Brian Harsin hire at Auburn, a guy that really doesn't have deep ties to the South.
Well, I mean, that's the thing I'm wrestling with, is I know he had success at Boise State. He was following Chris Peterson, who really elevated that program. Boise State declined by any stretch, but you can go, and he's going to have to do things a little bit differently. But you said it. I think the recruiting in that conference is ridiculous, because you can be a top 10 recruiting team on a given cycle, and you can lose in the SEC. You could be fifth or sixth in the SEC in that cycle. So I think that's the biggest pressure point for him, going up against all those others. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt's had top 10 classes in the last couple of years, and it hasn't translated as well on the field, but you've got to win those battles too.
Bill, you just took the name right out of my mouth. Me and Chris were talking earlier about what's going on up there in Tennessee with the new violations and accusations and everything. To me, and this is just me, Bill, on the outside looking at you, would know better than me. Does it seem like they're trying to find a way to get from up under Jeremy Pruitt as a head coach?
It's starting to feel that way a little bit, and I don't know. But you got to have, you know, to use the bait analogy, you got to have the right fish come in. So do they have the right one in mind if they're going to do that? And I thought Hugh Freeze would have been an interesting play for Auburn. and maybe it's just not there. I think maybe the SEC isn't working behind the scenes, maybe not let that happen, just because I think Hugh Freeze is a very good offensive coach and he's done a great job at Liberty, but we know what happened at Ole Miss. And when you do that, it takes a while and those kind of things. But I don't know who Tennessee would be looking at, but it would have that one. If they're going to do that, they would have to make a splash, because we know what happened with that fan base last time.
Bill Bender of the Sporting News. You can find him sportingnews.com. He's with us here on College Football Radio. Is there ever a chance, Bill, that a group of five team makes the college football playoff?
Not in the four-team setup. Here's how I was putting it Sunday when the pairings came out. I think they got the teams right, even if the system isn't necessarily right. I mean, A&M had a gripe. Cincinnati had a legitimate gripe. But the way the system works, they were going to put Notre Dame in. And I saw that coming all the way. There's only been 11 playoff teams in 7 years. There's only been 11 schools make the playoffs. And to compare that to the NFL, I ran it. If you consider conference championship weekend, the Final Four in the NFL, 17 different NFL teams have played in that weekend in the last 6 years. And only three, the Chiefs, Patriots, and Packers, have made it more than once. The more exclusive the college football playoff feels, I think it's going to damage the sport. But and that might be the pushing point to get them into the 18 playoff, if that makes sense.
Bill, me and Chris, we were also talking about the different bowl games with SEC teams, and me and him came to this conclusion: who's the bigger beneficiary from the Orange Bowl winner, the North Carolina or the Texas A&M? Because we both think that's going to be a fun football game.
Well, unfortunately, a couple North Carolina guys opted out that I wanted to see playing that game, Surratt and Carter. I think the answer is probably even, because I think if Texas A&M wins, they barrel into next year with a top five ranking. Fisher, we're not going to talk about, can he win a big game? It's going to be, can they compete with Alabama this year? North Carolina, though, ahead of schedule with Mack Brown, 2 1,000-yard rushers. He's really starting to bring some real talent in there, and anybody that's been around Mac a little bit knows what a first-class nice guy he is.
Yes.
I tell that to my kids. I do this sometimes when I talk to coaches. Be like, would I send my kid to play for him if I was fortunate enough to have a son do that? And he's a definite yes.
Bill Bender of the Sporting News. Bill, appreciate the time, my friend. As always, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and we'll look forward to catching up with you again down the road.
Appreciate you, Bill.
Happy holidays, guys. Take care.
Thank you, man.
You too. Be safe.
Bill Bender from the Sporting News. He has been with us here on College Football Radio. Randy and I will come back. We'll go around the college football bowl games. We'll talk about all those games, including that Texas A&M North Carolina game. We'll do that when we come back. College Football Radio brought to you by Carter Heating and Air, the SEC at its best.
College Football Radio, SEC at its best. Coming back next on Rock 105. It's how the SEC starts its Saturday mornings. College Football Radio is back with Chris Goforth and Randy McMichael on Rock 105.
College Football Radio presented by Carter Heating and Air. Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael, we are glad to be breaking it down for you on this College Football Saturday. It's hard to believe, Randy, and I'll be honest with you. I looked up, I guess it, what day was it, Monday or Tuesday of this week? I looked up and went, wait, there's a bowl game on.
Me too. I'm the same way. I was like, hold on. What do you mean there's a bowl game this afternoon? Oh, what do you mean? App State's playing? Okay, well, I guess I'll just sit there and watch it. I mean, I was the same exact way, Chris, just thinking like, hold on, the college football playoff games are next week? I mean, that is the funniest thing, because I was thinking the exact same thing. We're just not used to this time off. We're used to the time off. We're used to having at least 2 and 3 weeks before the first bowl game and a month before the big games. And right now it's jumping up on you so fast, but I like it. Whatever. Let's go.
Heck yeah. Who's going to complain about more football, right?
I don't know. People that not, like baseball?
Not oh. Yeah, well, not us, that's for sure. Hey, let's talk about some of these bowl games. I just a couple of quick thoughts. Music City Bowl, that's coming up Wednesday. That's December 30th. Number 15, Iowa takes on Missouri. I think Iowa wins this game, Randy, but I think Missouri will find a way to keep it close.
Missouri has a good chance to win this football game, and I like this offensive matchup for Missouri and the young quarterback, the young offense. I think that Missouri, I know they impressed me. I did not think they were going to be this good this year. I thought a quarterback changes would help them. I think that the future is very bright for them. But I think Iowa will win. I think Missouri can win. I think Iowa will win because I don't know if Missouri is physical enough as they want to be right now to face a team like Iowa.
Number 7, Florida takes on number 6, Oklahoma. That game is also Wednesday in the Cotton Bowl. All right, the over-under.
This will be a fun game, Chris.
The over-under is at 71.5, Randy. I'll
take the over.
All day.
I'm taking over.
All day. There is going to be a bunch of points scored in this game.
Yeah, I'm taking over on that, Chris. But I forgot what game it was, and we were talking about taking over, and it was like 20 points underneath at one time.
I know.
Yeah, but I know this is going to be a fun game when you look at this Oklahoma offense with Spencer Rattler, who has gotten better and better as the season has went on, and this Florida offense. Now the Florida defense, I don't know how they stopped the Oklahoma defense. I'm sorry, Oklahoma offense, but I mean, this Oklahoma's defense is a good Pac-12 defense. I know you could talk about nationally ranked and all that stuff now. Florida SEC offense is a completely different animal. I think this might be the funnest game because of the fact that you're going to get a lot of offense. And then, you're getting two teams. You get Florida coming off of two straight losses. You know, they don't want to lose this game. And then, Oklahoma wants some respect. They're at the number 6 right now. And determining on how the games in front of them head, they might get up to number 5 or whatever. But yeah, this is a game where Oklahoma wants to show some muscle and flex some muscle in a game that Florida needs to win. It's going to be a little bit more difficult without Kyle Pitts, who declared for the NFL draft. But at the same time, they still got some playmakers on that side of football. I think this game is going to be fun.
Yeah, I do too. Oklahoma, by the way, outside of Alabama and Clemson, Oklahoma probably playing their best football here over the last 3-4 weeks of the season. They've been really, really good. Armed Forces Bowl has 24th ranked Tulsa going against 3-7 Mississippi State.
I'm sorry.
Tulsa's been really good. Hey, they nearly took Cincinnati to overtime.
Yes.
They gave Oklahoma State some fits. We'll see what Mike Leach can cook up here offensively against Tulsa. I do think Mississippi State over the second half of the season has gotten a little bit better.
Well, they got the quarterback play is better. I think that's the biggest thing with Mississippi State. The quarterback play is better. Looks like Mike Leach got his guy that he can run that janky offense and move the ball up and down the field, dump off by dump off, and do it like that. Tulsa, they can score points. We know that, and they had chances. I thought they were going to beat Oklahoma State actually, but I mean they got offense. This is another game where the first team to 35 will probably win. And, it'll probably be 35-33 somewhere in the late second field goal or something like that. But when I look at this Mississippi State, Mike Leach just seems like, he may have gotten those I don't want to call them malcontents because not everybody gets a lot. Those guys, those young men that didn't want to play for him, got his quarterback, got his system. Now he's got to find some receivers, some tight ends that can run it. And, defense is always optional when he's a head coach.
The Texas Bowl at 8:00 on New Year's Eve. This is how we say good riddance to 2020, is with 3-7 Arkansas against 6-4 TCU in an old Southwest Conference rivalry.
Yeah, man.
I think Sam Pittman and Arkansas are going to be one of the teams. You always hear people talk about, well, do they want to be there? I think Arkansas is one of those teams that wants to be here. It's been a while for Arkansas since they've had a chance to go to a bowl. They don't care that they're 3-7. I think those guys want a chance to go play. And Gary Patterson at TCU, what can you say? He's been a guy that I have linked to every big job opening that has come open in the last 5 or 6 years. I think he's fantastic. TCU has won 4 out of their last 5 bowl games. That only loss was to Georgia, an SEC team. We'll see how they do against the Razorbacks on New Year's Eve.
Well, they're 3-7. Of course, Arkansas glad to be in a bowl game. 3-7. They get to play some extra football, and Sam Pittman gets to see what his team might look like as he goes forward there. And TCU, Gary Patterson, the one thing that TCU was always able to hang their hat on, Chris, early on was the defense. You know, Gary Patterson could coach some defensive football teams and do all those things, and was able to get those athletic quarterbacks on the run. They don't have that anymore as far as the defense is not as dominant as it used to be. And you're right, Gary Patterson's always a name. I remember the Tennessee job when Tennessee came open.
Gary Patterson. My choice.
Yeah, I thought a lot of people wanted him there. But ever since that right there, that situation with the Tennessee, you just haven't heard his name anymore. Is it because he doesn't want to leave or something else? But I think Gary Patterson is a fantastic coach. And I'm surprised his name wasn't on the Auburn job list or somebody like that.
Let's go to New Year's Day now. This is always the great day for college football bowl games. It starts at noon. When number 9 Georgia takes on number 8 Cincinnati. Cincinnati's going to come into this game, Randy. They're going to be angry, and they're going to come in feeling like they've got something to prove. This is a game where it's in the Peach Bowl. It's in Atlanta. This is a game where Georgia doesn't need to have that bowl game letdown.
I don't think they will. I don't think it'll be a point where, you know, like it was for the Sugar Bowl when Georgia, we thought we should have been in that. We thought we should have been that fourth team, and all the players tweeting out because I think it was, wasn't it? It was Notre Dame that was getting smacked in the mouth and all that. And all you saw were the tweets from the Georgia players, and you saw what Texas ramrodded them. And deservedly so. I don't see that letdown. If anything, it'll be maybe a letdown because the players that have opted out, Alojari, you know, Ben Cleveland, and guys like that have decided to opt out, or other transfer guys. So, I mean, if there's a drop-off, it might be because of the experience. But I don't think Kirby will allow that to happen. And, yeah, Cincinnati, okay, they're mad. Bring it then. If you're a Georgia Bulldog, bring it then. Because the thing with it is that you can make – the group of five and everybody else say, look, Georgia, one of the best teams in America, they're an SEC team, and look how we just beat them. So Georgia doesn't want that stat, that want that attached to them. And they should, because remember, it's attached to Auburn when UCF beat them down in the Peach Bowl. So Georgia does not want attached. Cincinnati is a very good football team. Luke Fickell has done a great job defensively with that football team, but they ain't seen the girth like they're going to see on that offensive line from Georgia. They're not going to see the girth that they've seen on the defensive line of Georgia. And yeah, they like to dress it up. They got a dual threat quarterback that do different things, eye candy, crisp motions and shifts and all that stuff. But when you talk about just bring it, Georgia going to bring it to them, and they're going to try and impose their will. And that's the one thing Georgia has. It's all about eye control. We talked about it with when they played Missouri, the eye control. You get hit with a double pass. If you don't get that play up, Missouri does not do anything. That's what you got to worry about when you deal with Cincinnati. Cincinnati's not going to physically whip Georgia. They're going to have to do those type of things, and Georgia cannot allow that to happen.
In the Citrus Bowl at 1 o'clock New Year's Day, Auburn will take on Northwestern. Kevin Steele will coach Auburn in the bowl. Northwestern is a good football team.
Good sound football team.
They can bore you to death now with how they play. So just before you go switching off that Georgia game, just know that. I think Northwestern is going into this game, Randy, and I think they're one of those teams that's going to care. I think they want to be there. Now, the rumor about, you know, Pat Fitzgerald is that some NFL teams may come calling.
Which they are.
Pat Fitzgerald a shot.
Oh, he's going to get some interviews. He's a damn good football coach. And when you look at that plan that they had last weekend against Ohio State as far as offensively, caught him off guard with the Wildcat and the tempo. And we're like, where's this Northwestern offense been? I think Pat Fitzgerald's a heck of a football coach. Auburn, they're in some transition right now. And not necessarily saying they might not want to be there, Chris. It's a fact where it's so much stuff going on around them. It's so much stuff going on around these kids and that program right now. We don't know which Auburn team would show up. But I think Northwestern will win this football game because they got a lot of certainty, even though they're coach, but they got that core there. You know, to will them through this, that same team that just came from a battle with an Ohio State type football team. And I just don't know where Auburn and their players' heads are right now, knowing that Kevin Steele probably won't be there next after this game, or he may be there as a defensive coordinator.
We've already talked about the Rose Bowl that won't be played in the Rose Bowl this year. It'll be played in Dallas. Where
are they still going to call it Rose Bowl?
Yep. That's I checked on that today, as a matter of fact, and yeah, it's still listed as the Rose Bowl from Arlington, Texas. So Notre Dame and Alabama. I'll say this much, Randy, and you know, I want to hear your thoughts, but I think this might be Nick Saban's favorite team.
He said it.
Yeah, because of just what all they've overcome, the fact it's a veteran team. This is a likable team, I think, for Nick Saban. This is the team of all the teams he's had, and he's had some good ones. I think this team may be the favorite for Nick Saban.
Yeah, and he said as much. And you got to understand, look at all the players, Chris, that have been there for 3+ years. He has a lot of guys that's been there a long time. Devontae Smith and Najee Harris and Mac Brown and Pat. God, Dylan Moses. I mean, they got guys that's been there. Leatherwood. They got so many guys that's been there for so long, and he's watched them grow through the program. And then, you know, it's been a different type of year. He's probably spent more time with them than he's ever spent with any team, and not had the distractions of anything other than just football with these guys, man. And you can just tell that Nick has really enjoyed this year coaching. And and basically because he said this has been his favorite team to coach. And I can see why, because he got a guy like Mac Jones, knowing that you got a 5-star coming from all the way from California to be the starting quarterback. But you're like, no, young fella, you got to sit there and wait. And then you got Najee, who decided to come back, Devontae Smith, who decided to come back. You lose a Jalen Waddle, which people thought was catastrophic. You lose a player like that, but yet you're still as explosive as ever. Michi steps up. And I mean, he just seems like that he's having a good time. And I have a good time too if my team was that good too.
Hey, let's talk. We've got three more here real quick. Gator Bowl at noon on January 2nd, NC State and Kentucky. You've got the Outback Bowl at 12:30, January 2nd. That's Ole Miss and Indiana. Now, those are two football.
That's going to be a good team. Yeah, that's going to be a good game, yes.
Expect a shootout in that one. And another game that I think this may be the best bowl game of the season, Randy, because I think this game is going to go a long way towards determining where these two teams will start the 2021 season, and that's Texas A&M and North Carolina in the Orange Bowl. I think that's going to be a good game.
There's going to be some points scored in that game, and you're absolutely correct. Because North Carolina is trying to learn how to win. And what they did last time I saw them, they were just mud-dragging Miami. And so, I mean, they got guys. They got Sam Howell. They got two talented. They just got a talented running game. They got a talented offense. And Texas A&M is very good themselves. And I was very shocked how Kelly Mond played last week. I will give him credit. I thought they could run. They could not win that game if he had to do what he had to do. And he was special last week at Knoxville. But no, this is going to be a barn burner right here, because I look at this game. This is two old school coaches and Jimbo and my main man Mac Brown trying to, like you said, keep their programs on the map. This ain't a one-off. We are going to continue to build off of the success we had this year. So I think that's going to be a fun game to watch.
Hey, it's going to do it for us, by the way. Randy, it's been another fun season. I'm glad we could do this. Thanks to Carter Heating and Air for making it possible. Yes. Thanks to Sean Whitfield and Whitfield
Always.
Media for making this
Always.
Thing go. But it's been fun. Randy, we'll be back together again August, we hope.
We hope, man. And like you said, I'm going to echo everything. It all is predicated on the vision of a man. Sean Whitfield, thank you so much for all that you've done and allowed us to do this again, man. And thank you to the listeners, man, because we ain't got no show without y'all, so we appreciate it.
That's going to wrap it up for us. We'll see you again in August. We'll be talking more college football then. Until then, enjoy the bowl game. We'll see you this summer. So long, everybody.
This has been another edition of College Football Radio, SEC at its best, with your hosts, Chris Goforth and Randy McMichael. For more, or to listen to a replay of today's broadcast, go to collegefootballradio.com. Built by Avalon Design Studio, College Football Radio is a production of Whitfield Media Group. Join us again next Saturday to start your SEC football college game day. And thank you for listening.